Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. Best of all, it's 100% free and ridiculously easy to use. And now, Anchor can match you with great sponsors who want to advertise on your podcast. That means you can get paid to podcast right away. In fact, that's what we're doing right now by reading this ad.
All we had to do was read 30 seconds, and they gave us some money.
I hope so.
Otherwise, we've been had.
Well, it only works if people listen. So
we've been bamboozled.
We have been bamboozled again. If you have a passion, if you have something you want to do, something you want to share with the world, something you think that you might be better than other people at, or just, you know, marginally talented at, I think we're
if you just like hearing yourself talk.
Oh, absolutely. Just pop over to Anchor. To get started, go to anchor.fm/start and join the Brew News crew and hundreds of others who want to share their passion with the world. That's anchor.fm/start. Welcome to the Brew News Podcast, all the news that's fit to be brewed. I'm your host, Andrew Jennings.
And I'm Travis Matherly.
And today we are going to finally finish up our year in review.
Yep, this is part three of our trilogy series, highlighting breweries which we have featured throughout our first season as a podcast.
I just realized that we really had a good like Star Wars vibe going. We had A New Hope, a lot of like nice mixes. You had some good things, some bad things, so be it. Empire Strikes Back. That last episode was nothing but dark beers.
Yeah,
it was.
So they were striking back at us.
Yeah, it was just the dark side.
We enter to
the return of the podcast.
Yeah,
where
the return of the beers.
So this one we are lovely calling the
next year. We'll start with A New Hope.
We will. It'll be really the beers awaken. Really what we're going to start
there you
with.
Go.
Or the beers of bacon. It's hard to tell. But so these are we're calling this episode the regional breweries. So we are highlighting five breweries in our final episode of our year in review. We're doing Clown Shoes, Dogfish Head, Sweetwater, Terrapin, and Lagunitas. These are breweries, while Lagunitas has nationwide reach, and I think Dogfish Head may as well, or close to. These are smaller, significantly smaller, except for Lagunitas, than the other breweries we've highlighted so far.
Yeah, so we're in the last episode. We featured, you know, like Oscar Blues, Sierra Nevada, and New Belgium, that have multiple breweries around the country. These are single brewery.
Usually single facility breweries.
That's what I meant to say. I was going to say single brewery breweries.
I got you. So let's get started. because we don't have a lot of time.
No, we are hosting a chili cook-off this evening, as you probably heard in our first episode. And
we got 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So let's do this.
We got 20 minutes to record a 35-minute episode. Let's go.
All right, so the first we're going to start off with is our Clown Shoes beer. This is the Blakehorn Unidragon.
Yeah, so if you remember from that episode, Clown Shoes, we didn't give it overly glowing reviews on the beer we had.
It was hit or miss.
For various reasons. We had one that the can was busted, so the beer might have been compromised. Hated the Bubble Farm.
Yep.
Didn't care for the majority of the beers, except the barista.
The barista was delicious.
The barista was delicious. Andrew mentioned that he would love to get his hands on the Blakehorn Unidragon. Well, lo and behold, not long after that episode recorded, I was in a very local grocery store.
Lowe's? Like
Best Way.
Oh, Best Way. Yeah.
Which is like a one-store, family-owned grocery store in our area. But they carry a ton of craft beer. And I stumbled upon the Blakehorn Unidragon. And I stumbled upon two different years' worth of Blakehorn Unidragons. So tonight we are having the 2016 Blakehorn Unidragon. The Blakehorn Unidragon is a Russian Imperial Stout. Comes in at 12.5% ABV.
That's what we needed.
Yep, especially after that last episode. This is 75 IBUs, brewed with a monstrous amount of malt and combined with aggressive American hops. The smokiness is subtle but present and blends nicely with rich, dark flavors. And so I believe 2 years probably served this one well, I would hope.
Honestly, you can smell the hopping in it, which is odd for an Imperial Stout.
That is weird. It is smoky, I will say that. Sorry. But you can smell the hopping. But 75 IBUs is huge for a Russian Stout.
We've talked about this before. You will overhop a sweet beer, so it's not so sweet.
But the last Russian Imperial we did that we talked about was only 50-some IBUs, I think, right?
It was 1050.
1050. And the 1050...
Actually, 1050 is not Russian, but it doesn't matter.
No.
The Highlands.
Highlands Imperium was 50 IBUs. Yeah. So that's pretty good for a Russian Imperial Stout.
I actually get a lot of smokiness on that nose that I was not expecting. And that's what it was. Once I realized that's the aroma I was picking up was smoke. I like smoke in my beers, so...
Well, I hope you like smoke on the beer because it is smoke in the mouthfeel.
Yeah, smokiness is not subtle. That's a misnomer right there.
Yeah, so this is a fairly smoked beer.
It's a smoky beer.
I love a good smoked beer. So there is a beer from Evil Twin that is, I've had it before and I can't remember the name of it, but the can art has a match on it that is burnt out.
Okay.
And that is hands down the smokiest beer I've ever had in my life. This is smoky, but it's nice.
Yeah, I've had a much smokier beer than this, but this is, it has good sweetness to it. The hops help on the nose, but they don't really help anywhere else.
Yeah.
It's still a sweet beer. The smoke flavor actually balances it. It is
a touch bitter. Just a little bit on that back end, it is a little bitter.
You're right. It's probably, they're probably not doing a lot of aroma hops. They're probably doing it all right up there. They're probably doing like noble hops and then a lot of it on the front end.
Yeah.
Just to give that nice bitter flavor.
Rich dark flavors, I will give it a little bit of baker's chocolate. It's not bitter dark chocolate. There's not a ton of coffee. Mm-hmm. I get like no coffee on that.
It's almost
Fairly malty. Yeah, the smoke kind of overpowers a lot of stuff, but 12.5%. I'll be interested when we crack that 17 sometime in the near future as to what that tastes like compared to this.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. Let's move on to our first Dogfish Head beer. Unless you have something else to talk about clown shoes.
I just wanted to say that that was a better representation for clown shoes than a lot of the beers we had during the episode.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We even acknowledged that. Like, during the episode, we had beers that were a little out of the box. They just weren't good, or there was something wrong with them. But clown shoes make such a wide variety that there's going to be hits and misses.
Yep.
And so we'll move on to Dogfish Head, another brewery that makes a ton of variety.
Yeah, and was probably hands down my favorite episode that we did the entire year.
I think so, yeah.
This, I just really enjoyed the episode. The variety of beer that we had within the episode was a lot of fun talking about. They're just like a really unique standout brewery.
Yeah, so the first beer we're going to have is the Burton Batten. It's an IPA Imperial Double, 10% ABV, 70 IBUs. It's an Oak Age Gentle Giant.
Oof.
Two threads.
So they called it two threads of beer.
Okay.
Or two batches of beer.
Oh, okay.
That is my typo.
Okay.
I apologize for making you look like an idiot on air.
Sounds like an idiot. No, I don't look like, I look fantastic.
We had faces made for radio.
Definitely. This is an English style old ale and an Imperial IPA. So it's two different beers. Which is interesting because the Burton actually is referencing Burton Street in England, where almost all the old English-style ales were made, where the first pale ales were brewed.
Well, I'm glad you know that because I thought that was just a random name that they had assigned to
this beer. I got you. You know I got this. So the two beers are actually fermented separately in stainless steel tanks, and they're blended together in large oak tanks.
Yes. So these two beers go through separate fermentation and then are blended and then fermented further together. So that is very in line with Dogfish's style and the way that they do things and being out of the box, very extreme with their styles of beer.
So this is both an American beer and an English beer.
It smells like an IPA.
It smells a lot like that Chopsecutioner because the oak.
Yep, Chopsecutioner. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can give you that. The oak has imparted onto that IPA.
Uh-huh.
70 IBUs is decently bitter. I will say that that is very interesting.
I think like anything from Dogfish Head.
It has that old ale feel, but it's still... So the way that old ale... There it is. The way that old ale mixes with that IPA, with the blending in an oak tank, almost leans me more towards a triple IPA.
Well, I was going to let you finish. And that's what I was thinking.
Yes.
I was thinking Hoptimum. I was thinking that triple, that heavy IPA. The front end is unique, but the back end, that's where that Imperial IPA comes in and just kicks my mouth in with that cloying, what do we call it? Astringent mouthfeel?
Yeah, it's that astringent taste. So triple IPAs, they coat the inside of your mouth. And I feel like that is in part to the old ale.
Yep.
The old ale coats the inside of your mouth. It's very viscous. Coat your tongue, coat your cheeks, the roof of your mouth. And so that bitterness doesn't go away quickly.
Right.
Because it takes a minute for it to work its way out. That's a way for that old ale to impart more bitterness from the beer into your mouth. But honestly, I like the way it does it more than I like most triple IPAs.
Yes, I agree with that. So since we are on a time crunch, we'll move on to the Palo Santo Marón, This is also from Dogfish Head. Mm-hmm. It is a brown ale. It's an Imperial Double Brown Ale. We do not believe in light beers when it comes to our special episodes.
Yeah, we do this for you, the viewers and the listeners.
Not for us. This is 12% alcohol, 50 IBUs. It's unfiltered, unfettered, unprecedented brown ale. Aged in handmade wooden brewing vessels.
Yes, and so a little bit about those handmade wooden brewing vessels. Caramel and vanilla complexity unique to this beer comes from exotic Paraguayan Palo Santo wood. Palo Santo means holy tree, and it is used in South American winemaking communities.
Did you say South American?
I was going to say South African, and then I accidentally changed it to South American. Thank you so much, Andrew. This is only our 18th beer for the day.
That is incorrect. This is 15. No, you're right. This is 20.
Oh, man. All right. Yeah, this is a...
This is 20.
This is the Brewfest episode all over again. Yep. No,
so yes. This is the holiest beer that we're drinking today is what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
The Holy Tree in South American winemaking communities. Wow.
That is a very unique nose.
That smells like wine.
Yeah, like a Syrah or a Shiraz.
It smells like a Syrah or a Pinot Noir.
Mm-hmm. Like a lighter red.
It smells like a very light red or almost kind of like a rosé. I mean, not white wine-ish, but it's very light red. It has some of those. So when we talked about the Cab Sauv Aged Edinburgh.
Right.
These are the wine notes that I was expecting to pick up in that beer that are in this beer. It also does have that dark fruit, figgy, black currant.
Try that.
Undertones.
Taste it, because it's good. I think the brown ale works really well with that.
Oh, yeah.
That's nice. That's very good.
Mm-hmm. I think the brown ale works better with that than the wee heavy.
Yeah, yeah.
This keeps those dark fruit, fig, currants, that kind of stuff. It is a little jammy, mm-hmm. like we mentioned.
I get some fig on the back end. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that comes with that sweetness, a little bit of sweetness.
Right.
I will give you a little bit of caramel and vanilla. Mm-hmm. That is insanely good.
That's delicious. I'm getting to the point where every time I see Dogfish Head, if I've not recognized the name, I'm just going to get it because it's good. Everything I've had from them has been excellent.
Yeah, they're very out there, outside of the box, pushing the limits of what beer is. That is extremely good, and that wood, if that's what they use in South American wine, and I love South American wine. Mm-hmm. I love Chilean beers, Argentinian beers.
Like you love some Malbecs.
Malbecs.
Yeah.
Syrah, that kind of stuff.
Isn't it Shiraz down there?
Shiraz, I feel like, is Australian.
Okay, in case you're curious, Shiraz and Syrah are the exact same grape. It's just where they're grown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is Shiraz Australian?
And South African. There you go. Yes, the Shiraz is both Australian and South African, and it may be South American because I can't remember if it matters if it's below the equator or not, or I don't know where the cutoff is.
There you go.
But yes, it depends on where it's grown.
But this is a very, so this reminds me, like, this is a different way to go than the mixed media
mm-hmm.
that we had from Dogfish Head. This is a very good brown ale with some of those jammy wine notes of dark fruits.
Mm-hmm.
I really like this beer, and it's like, I had the issue when we did Dogfish Head in the original episode. This messes with you.
Yeah.
Dogfish Head messes with you in a lot of their beers where it's supposed to be one thing and it ends up being another. And it's really, really good. And I like that beer.
Yep.
That's going to be hard to beat for beer of the night.
It is. But we're going to give it a shot. We're going to let Sweetwater talk with their 21st anniversary ale. This is a Oud Brown or an Old... a Oud Brune or an Old Brown ale.
Oud Brune.
An Oud Brune. It's from the
Woodlands. The Bruins are the Bears, right?
The Bruins are the Bears, yes.
Mm-hmm.
They are Bears.
The Boston Bears.
Yes, the Boston Bears.
The Boston Brown Bears.
Hey,
if that's what a Bruin is.
That's not how this works. Different etymology, sir. A Oud Brown is a celebration of the Flanders style. It's a Belgian beer. So they're speaking Flemish. So this is a 7.9% alcohol, 7 IBUs. East versus West Coast showdown.
Yeah.
It uses a microflora, a bacteria, such as Acetobacter, Lactobacillus, Pediococcus, Saccharomyces, and Proteomyces.
I'm glad you knew how to say all those because I was guessing at half of it. I said Acetobacter lactobacillus pediococcus. That sounds like a dinosaur.
Pediococcus?
Yes.
No, you're thinking of Brachiosaurus or...
Streptococcus.
What's the one with the skull head? Pachycephalosaurus.
Again, Andrew's zoology degree is coming into play right here.
Got this.
No. So this is part of Sweetwater's Woodland Project, which we touched on in that episode, mm-hmm. is part of their sours, mm-hmm. wild ales, that kind of thing. This comes in at 7.9% ABV, 7 IBUs. It is aged in American oak foeders on top of cherries.
And honestly, that is a wild bacterial strain. So
literally.
They have two different yeasts, the Saccharomyces and the Bruteomyces. Both of those are common brewing yeasts. And then the Acetobacter, Lactobacillus, and Pediococcus are both... The Acetobacter are odd. Lactobacillus is very common in brewing
lactose.
Lactose, correct. Pediococcus is the one I've never seen in brewing before.
That's a...
No.
It's juvenile.
Whatever you were thinking, it is not.
It's a juvenile bacteria because it's a pedi. It means pediatric.
I got where you were going, and yeah. I was trying to stop that.
You saw it as I was thinking. No, so this should be...
This should be very sour. It should be very...
It smells extremely sour. Good gosh. So that is like all kinds of funk and sour mixed together. That is extremely... That's a wild blend.
It's a wild ale. Honestly, this reminds me... So when we were in Belgium, we went to a Flanders-style brewery in Bruges. And they had a wheat brown. I was like, I'm getting this beer.
Oh my God.
I don't like that.
Keep base. Talking.
But yeah, I was like, I'm getting this beer and I'm going to enjoy it. And it smelled exactly like this.
Well, I hope you like tart.
Is this one of mine? This one's mine, isn't it?
This is yours. Yeah. This is an Andrew type beer. That is funky and tart.
Oh yeah, that's funky. That is 100% funky and tart. You know, this reminds me of...
Wow.
So we have a local brewery around here called Joymongers.
Mm-hmm.
And they do their photo series. They have the... They have a cherry photo beer. That's what this reminds me of, but this is so much more sour.
Yes, that is exactly... So the cherries are a nice note.
Mm-hmm. But they're a note. They're a note in the symphony of sour.
I also think that the brown ale is an interesting base for this style of beer. I think if you put this on a lighter beer, it might be way too sour.
Yeah, you need a sweet base for this beer.
Yeah, you need something like this brown ale, too, which would technically probably, wouldn't that classify this as a dark sour?
Yeah,
dark sour ale?
It's a
Flanders red.
It's getting close to that Flanders red. It's a little dark for a Flanders red. It's like a
Flanders brown?
Yeah, Flanders brown. Honestly, but that's
a Flanders old brown? An old Flanders brown?
That's what the Wheat Brune is. So it's a good beer. I like that.
Howdy ho, neighbors.
Howdy ho! Oh, no, we're not doing that. No, we're not walking down that path. Well, I think it's time for us to stick with Georgia.
Woo!
For beer number cinco. Or if you've been following along, beer number, I'm not even paying attention anymore.
17.
17 in this series plus the 5 from Yingling.
That would be 22.
22.
Beer 22. We are moving on to Terrapin Brewing out of Athens, Georgia. So if you remember Terrapin, we talked a lot with Terrapin and Sweetwater about Georgia brewing laws and how that kind of led for these breweries to sell out so that they could get their beer distributed because Georgia only recently changed their brewery laws.
So that you could have brew pubs.
Yeah, so that you could actually sell beer at the breweries. So really through no fault of their own for Terrapin and Sweetwater, they were forced to sell out if they wanted their brand to grow beyond a state-only brand or like a local-only brand. Terrapin, we did try the Wake and Bake Coffee Porter Stout, Coffee Stout.
But this, now we have the Raspberry Truffle.
Wake and Bake. Mm-hmm. This is a Imperial Oatmeal Stout, 9.4% ABV, 30 IBUs. This is part of the 2017 Reserve Series, so this is a year-old beer. I just picked it up off the shelf about a month ago at the most, so it's been sitting in our total wine for that long.
Either that or they just released it to distribution.
True.
They may have wanted to age it because they know people will drink whatever they buy off the shelves. A lot of people don't age their beers. To be fair, I don't generally age my beers.
I try.
I know you do.
When we started recording this episode, I emptied half my cellar. Well, a little bit. I have nobody look in that closet.
Listen,
I have
a lot of good stuff in there.
Yeah, I have some good stuff in there. This is brewed with pure liquid cocoa, raspberry, and Jittery Joe's coffee, which, if you listen to our Terrapin episode, if they do anything with coffee in their beers, they use Jittery Joe's, which is a specific brand of coffee.
Out of Athens.
Yes. It is a dessert lover's dream come true, Andrew.
I'm not going to lie. If you like raspberry truffles, that nose is for you, baby. That thing is,
oh,
yeah.
And let me be honest here and say that raspberry is probably my favorite fruit.
That's why I wear a perfume of raspberry for every episode. Mm-hmm. It puts Travis in a good mood.
Puts me in the mood. That smells like chocolate raspberries.
It really does.
And like chocolate raspberry cheesecake, chocolate raspberry cake. That is dessert in a glass is what it smells like.
The flavor profile to me is a bit heavier on the fruit, which is not bad because it does have the chocolate in it. It's very much like a raspberry jam cake, like a chocolate cake with raspberry jam like slathered into it, which is the part I like. So if you make a chocolate cake and you put raspberry jam between the layers, that's the section I want, like that, like in like half inch of chocolate on either side with that raspberry jam.
I mean, that just really is what it tastes like. Raspberry truffle in a stout. That stout, I believe, does have oats in it. It is an oatmeal stout originally. The raspberry, the way that that works and why I love raspberry so much, raspberry is an extremely sharp fruit. Mm-hmm. It is an extremely tart fruit. It is extremely sharp. Chocolate, for me personally, by itself, I'm not a huge fan.
Too sweet.
It's too sweet. It's too heavy. Raspberry and those kind of extremely sharp flavors cut through that chocolate. Mm-hmm. It cuts through the sweetness and the heaviness. So this raspberry, you get that flavor. It plays to the chocolate and it's a nice combination. They're not complementary. They're opposite each other. But that combination works in a way that makes this beer not so heavy.
Yeah, that's a good beer. Honestly, this has been a fantastic tasting so far.
Oh man, I can. Well, yeah, we'll get I back drink to it. That we'll get back to night. It.
So we've got one more left. We have one from Lagunitas, who, as we talked about, is no longer technically a craft brewery. They are
at all.
They are owned by Heineken. But this is the Wilco Tango Foxtrot. This is a brown ale imperial double, 8.1% ABV, 64 IBUs. It is a malty, robust, jobless recovery ale. I got nothing on that.
That's just what the bottle says. Sure. I don't know.
It's a rich, smooth, dangerous, and chocolatey. Let's find out how rich,
smooth. Is a rich, smooth, dangerous, and chocolatey what, Andrew?
I don't know. I didn't make these notes.
Well, that is all they give. And so if you listen to our Longaninas episode, which was not too long ago, they're another vague brewery on purpose, and we weren't really overly fans of Lagunitas.
I need you to smell that, because I don't think it's what they say it is.
It's extremely hoppy. It's a little dank, like hempy.
Correct. It's like an IPA.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be interesting.
Wasn't there recovery ale?
No, you're thinking about the rec ale from Terrapin.
No.
We talked about it briefly.
Yeah, so this is when they said recovery ale, what I read was like, this is the beer you need to drink if you're recovering from a night before. Like, if you need some hair of the dog type sort of thing, this is what you would drink. It does not smell like a brown ale.
And
it smells like, that's citrusy.
It's
dank.
It's very piney. To me, it's got some pine in it. It's very much got a heavy, heavy hop profile to it.
What was the beer we had that was like the Hemper Light version?
We didn't. It wasn't the G13, because we both had that independently from Sweetwater.
That's what it reminds me of, though.
It's not that dank, though.
No, it's not that dang, and that's probably because the brown ale is probably muting it out.
AVL from the AVL IPA from Highlands.
Yeah.
That's what this reminds me of.
If you close your eyes and smell it, that does not that's smell not a like ale. A brown ale.
No. It doesn't taste like a brown ale. It tastes like every other but a lot of Lagunitas beers we had where it's just an IPA.
It's an extremely malty IPA that is extremely malty with citrus and a little bit of pine.
Yep.
That is...
It's not what it says it is.
It's not chocolatey.
No.
It's not rich and smooth. It is...
You want rich and smooth? Just get you a Wake and Bake. That thing is rich and smooth.
Smooth.
Smooth, like it's cool, like the other side of the pillow.
Mm-hmm.
But no, yeah, that is... That's wildly disappointing. And it currently...
Like a lot of Lagunitas beer was?
No.
I mean, it's just like, it's different, but it's not, for me, it's not great.
Here's my problem with Lagunitas. They do a good job at brewing beer. The problem is all their beers taste the same. Mm-hmm. So it's not that they're bad at beer. It's that they only know how to brew one type of beer, and they somehow manage to make it different colors.
Hey guys, here's a darker version of that beer we just brewed. Brilliant.
That's what it reminds me of. Like, it's
not... What if we could market 15 of the same beer to customers, but we call it different things and they all buy it? Johnson, you're a genius.
It's like they took the brown sugar, poured it in with one of their IPAs, like Maximus, because I didn't like Maximus. There's something about this beer that reminds me of that. Like, this,
is it the maltiness?
I think it was the astringency. But if you mix the Maximus with the brown sugar, that's this beer. That's all this is. Gosh, this sucks is the last beer we're having for a year in review.
Well, we didn't end the year on a high note. But,
we did not, but we can go back to these bottles that I'm just looking at longingly.
Mm-hmm. So, Andrew, favorite beer of this episode?
Well, Travis, I really enjoyed the Wilco Tango Foxtrot. I'm sorry.
Don't you lie to me.
Honestly, I'm having a hard time. The Raspberry Truffle Wake and Bake was excellent.
Yes.
The 21st anniversary from Sweetwater was excellent for different reasons. The Palo Santo Morón was excellent for different reasons. Those are my top three. If I have to pick one, I am more inclined to drink a sour right now, so I'm going to go with the Weed Brown. But any of those three you could give to me as a birthday present, and we're good.
I'm going to say my beer of the night is... the Palo Santo Morón.
Really? I thought you were going to go raspberry chocolate truffle.
Mm-hmm. As much as I love raspberries and a raspberry truffle, which is exactly what that beer was, that is a dessert beer. That is a heavier beer by nature. I could only drink probably a taster or two of that. I couldn't even do a half bottle of that. It's just so sweet.
Right.
That Palo Santo Morón, again, it goes back to the Dogfish Head thing where they're messing with me. But I like it. It had all of these interesting wine notes, all of these good brown ale flavors, and that worked. Behind that is definitely the raspberry truffle and the Blake Horn Union Dragon, just because I like really smoky beer.
Mm-hmm.
I know smoky beer is not everybody's cup of tea. Definitely. People are either on the side of I hate smoky beer or I love smoky beer.
It's definitely a dividing line. and our side is much smaller.
That is an amazing thing. Since this is our last episode of the year, next year we start a whole new season of the pod. We're going to start a whole new list of breweries. Andrew, what was your brewery of the year?
My brewery of the year. Okay, my surprise brewery of the year goes to Brewprint.
Yes.
100%. Like, I give them my, not most improved, but like, surprise brewery. That's not what I was expecting. They were so much better than I was expecting.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great to talk to Eric. It was fantastic. My brewery of the year, though, I'm going to give it to Dogfish Head. Because you're going to give the exact same awards to the exact same people. <aren't> No. <you? laughs>
Well, so surprise brewery of the year, I will agree with you that that was Brewprint. Dogfish Head was hands down my favorite episode to record. That was some of my favorite beers. Dogfish Head is one of those out of the box breweries that I think they're doing a lot of good stuff. I'm only disappointed in a few breweries that we did. Clown Shoes, for me, disappointed. I was more excited to do Clown Shoes. It disappointed. Lagunitas,
disappointed.
Disappointed.
Yep.
Yingling and Sam Adams, we know what we're getting into.
Yeah, we knew we were stepping
in. We knew what we're getting into. Not that they're bad breweries. Yingling and Sam Adams have their niche for what they make. They make solid beer. I think a lot of our local series, I mean, a year in review, we covered a lot of ground this season. We talked about everything from selling out in Wicked Weed
to multi-million barrel breweries to we make a couple of, thousand barrels every year
to things like corporate structure,
things
like pushing the boundaries of beer, to how beer laws affect the growth of craft breweries and what they're able to do and why some breweries turn to that sellout route.
Right.
We covered a lot of ground this year. A lot of the breweries we did, I really loved. There were a handful of ones that I wish we had done better. And not, I don't want to be too mean to Clown Shoes. They have a lot of good beers, a lot of good stouts, like we said. A lot of these breweries, just because we had the beers that we didn't enjoy and we didn't give high marks to that brewery,
doesn't mean the brewery is bad.
Yeah.
It means the beers we had, we because like you've said...
personally didn't care for.
And you've said this before. You cannot taste someone else's palate.
Yeah.
So when you and I differ, you and I have a lot of similarities when it comes to our beer taste. Mm-hmm. But when you and I differ, we differ strongly.
Yeah. We do differ on a lot of things in beer. Just the point of this podcast is not only to share to legitimize our drinking habit.
which, we needed a reason to
drink as much as we do.
This is not a hobby anymore.
It has become an obsession and a passion. No, we love craft beer. We love drinking beer. We love making beer now. You know, we've gotten into brewing. We just want to help people discover the different facets of craft brewery. Discover breweries that you may not have heard of before. Just because we don't like something doesn't mean that you won't like something.
Right.
You cannot drink somebody else's palate. We encourage everybody to get out there and try as much as you can responsibly. Try different things. Just don't go back to that same beer.
Oh, please don't.
Single time. And we all are guilty of that at some point or another. Going back to the same brewery, the same beer every single time because I know I like it, so I'm not going to venture out and put myself out there and risk it. There is so much good beer out there.
Start local. I mean, we always say this. Drink local. Try your local breweries. But if you are at the grocery store and you don't see something local and you want to try something different, we're hoping that you'll listen to us and say, you know what? I'm going to try this, you know, Clown Shoes because these two yahoos on the internet told me it was good. Yeah. I'm going to try this, you know, Sweetwater. Mm-hmm. I've never even seen Sweetwater, but this looks interesting. Except for the 420. Don't try the 420.
Try it.
Fine.
I'll say try it. It's not for us, but try it. No, I mean, and with the way that a lot of stores are set up now, even our local grocery stores and the Harris Teeter, your Total Wines, that kind of stuff, your local bottle shops allow you to make mixed fours, mixed sixers.
Mm-hmm.
Pick your beers. Step out of your comfort zone. And if you are afraid of trying a style of beer, if you're at a local bottle shop or something, ask somebody.
Oh, someone will tell you.
If somebody knows what you like, they can point you in a direction that'll take you a step outside of that without going too far. Just get out there and try different beers and explore. Find what you like. Find what you don't like. But we strongly encourage you to get out there and try everything that the craft beer community has to offer.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And we're very much looking forward to season two. We've got some fun things planned. Thank you guys so much for listening. That's all I got for this year.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much for listening to us. We appreciate it a lot.
You can support
have
us.
A happy holiday season. You can support us on Patreon.
And Anchor. Patreon's probably the easier one to support us. If you're on Patreon, you know, our tier one awards, $1 a month will just get you early access to all of our episodes. $5 a month, I can't remember all the things I put in. I think I can't remember what I set up.
After 22 beers, Andrew cannot remember what he set up.
23, in the, sir. 23.
Cannot remember what he set up in the Patreon.
But go to patreon.com, look for Brew News Pod. You'll find everything we have.
Yeah.
But we really want you guys, we're going to continue in the next year. We're really going to focus the first part of 2019. We're really going to try and delve into local breweries and brew pubs and how they work and how they operate. We're also going to take our home brewing and start talking about that a bit more because people know we homebrew, but we haven't really talked about it because we haven't had a good, we don't have enough beer yet to really talk to you guys about it.
Yeah. And so with that, we hope all of our viewers have a great end of the year. Happy holiday season, whatever you celebrate. Have fun with your family and friends. We hope you have some good beverage to go along with that. Yeah. And thank you guys so much for listening. We will see you in the new year.
Thank you for listening to this week's Brew News.
If you enjoyed the show, please take a moment to subscribe and give us a rating in whichever app you found us on. We value your feedback, and it also helps the show reach more viewers.
If you have any thoughts or suggestions for future breweries, or are with a brewery and like to join us, feel free to tweet at or follow us on Twitter at @brew_news. On Untapped, Travis is Mather Nuts, and Andrew is Tuba Steve.
We're on Instagram at Brew News Pod, and you can visit our website, brewnewspod.com, where we will post our tasting and episode notes.
You can also find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Anchor, Spotify, or whichever podcast platform you use.
Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week to look at another exciting brewery.
Cheers!
Have you ever wondered how you could join the Brew News crew? Well, swing over to patreon.com/brewnewspod and you can join us. We have three different tiers for all of our patrons. At the lager level, you earn early access to all of our podcast episodes. At the IPA level, you get early access to our podcast episodes, but you get special weekly beer tastings that are done by various members of the crew. And you get special video presentations, including our Beermas special. At the stout level, you get everything you get at the IPA level, but you also get to appear on one episode of the Brew News Pod, and when we have some swag, we'll send some your way. So feel free to swing over to patreon.com/brewnewspod, that again is patreon.com/brewnewspod, and join the crew.